Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And as those of you who know, the whole essence of Empower Radio and Going Beyond Medicine is to help to bring people that kind of information that they really need. So Empower Radio literally empowers the listener, empowers the hosts and the guests to really stand in the truth of what it is that they know, which is so essential in our time. And Going Beyond Medicine is literally looking beyond what is the immediate quick fix and looking at the long-term ramifications of things, because we really are in such need of looking at our lives differently and creating a new life so that we can actually live that life. Mm-hmm. So today my guest is Craig Perrin, who is an amazing guy that I've had the great advantage of working with myself. And he is a shiatsu practitioner in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we're going to be talking about what shiatsu is, how it is, how it helps the body, and what Craig knows and is able to perceive and then affect a change for with his clientele. So welcome to the show, Craig.
Thank you, Elaine, for having me.
It's absolutely a pleasure of mine. So let's just start right off the bat, Craig, and would you please explain what shiatsu is, where it came from, and what it's all about, please?
Well, shiatsu is a bodywork form. It's similar to massage. A lot of people refer to it as massage, but we don't really call it massage because it uses the Chinese like acupuncture system of meridians and movement of qi in the body. So shiatsu, even though it's based in a very old philosophy, this Chinese medicine, Chinese medical theory, it was only formulated later on in Japan as a bodywork system, and it only appeared like in the 1920s, formulated as a formalized practice of the nation in like the 1950s.
Listeners know, Craig, because a lot of people may not be familiar. What could you explain what qi is, number one? And number two, what is the difference between, you know, regular Chinese medicine where maybe they're using acupuncture needles versus using pressure?
Okay. Well, the qi is the universal life force. It is the energy that kind of runs everything. In Chinese medicine, everything is qi, and really what we experience here and what we see is qi transforming into different perceptions that we have. Qi is energy, qi is also matter. And the way it's mapped out in the body, it creates like a grid of lines of major arteries of qi that move in the body, and these grids are affected by a person's experience of life and the way they perceive life and the way they receive life and in the way they respond to it. So what shiatsu does by using pressure, stretching, different forms of manipulation is we work with those flows, because the a person in their life and the stresses in our lives and our history and the way we think and experience causes those flows to become unbalanced, imbalanced. And then we begin to, because these flows, the qi itself has consciousness that it knows what to do in the body. It knows how to create the body. It knows how to keep the body vital and strong and recreate the body constantly. But it also, it's a benevolent force, and it also will let go of its own designs, its own program in a sense, to feed what it is it perceives the needs of the individual, our individual needs. In other words, when we want to do anything, we need energy to do it. And the energy of life responds to that. So if we have a certain stresses and certain ways of perceiving that create a pull on that qi for certain reasons, for whatever it means to us in our lives, the qi becomes imbalanced. And if that continues on over time, that imbalance takes the qi away from its job of maintaining our presence, maintaining our body in space-time.
Well, what I found remarkable, and as I said, I had the opportunity myself several times to work with you, Craig, and mm-hmm. I was amazed, number one, that how clearly just you seeing me walk in your office door, you could see where the imbalance was, because obviously you're so used to that, the visual cues of what the body is saying that we don't even realize.
Yes.
And secondarily, you don't even realize how much stress you carry until the stress starts to be a little bit released.
Right.
That's a really, a really important thing for me. So how did you, how did you get involved with Shiatsu? What was the impetus for you to want to do this?
Well, when I was in college, and this was like early 70s, late 60s, which is going to date me.
It's okay.
But
we all have a date.
Right, we all have a date. I took a yoga class. You know, I up to that point, I was a pretty mainstream kind of guy, you know, in high school. And I took a yoga class. It's something that just caught my interest. And that experience, there was only really, I think, one kind of yoga on the East Coast at that time. I was born and raised in New Jersey. And it was integral yoga. And that experience at the end of the class, after doing the asanas, the teacher said, you know, lie down in the corpse pose. And she went through our whole body and we relaxed every part. And when that was done, I experienced something I had really never experienced before. I can't say I was out of my body, but the sense of ease and well-being and this sort of foamy lightness of being was all around me, that I was really taken by that. And that led me to actually, after college, to study yoga further and yoga and meditation. This was like in the early 70s. I mean, back then, yoga, we were very counterculture and people thought this was a really weird thing to do. Now it's like, you know, it's nice almost, to see that it's mainstream because it's very valuable.
It's almost part of business culture in a lot of places now.
Yeah.
They have the expectation that you want to have a calm mind, you better meditate for a little bit, whether you know how to do it or not.
Right. Yeah.
And that's really great. But I'm glad that you had the foresight to do that, because that gave you so much more personal experience.
Right. And that led me when I, you know, then I had a family, I raised a family. And I was doing, I had my own little renovation business in construction, and somebody came to work for me that was going to school for Shiatsu, and he offered to work on me as practice for him, and I was glad to. I had been doing some regular massage, and I had found out that that, at that time, was very valuable, especially for what I was doing. It was great for my body, it released, you know, stress, and I really could feel that it had the health benefits. But when I had the Shiatsu done, it brought me back to that experience I had with yoga again. And I thought, wow, you know, and I didn't even have to do anything. That's what was really nice. Somebody else was doing it for me, putting me in that state of well-being and just feeling so good and so released that I thought to myself, you know, once I get my kids through college, I'm going to go to school and do this. So I was about 50 years old when I first went to school for Shiatsu.
Wow.
So I started it later
in life.
Good for
you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, you had said, and certainly, you know, there's so many people that carry a lot of stress in their body just from mental stress. Stress of having families, long hours at work, not enough time for balance. But having been in the trades, having been doing physical labor, I'm sure this was exceedingly important for you because your body was stressed.
Absolutely.
To do that actual physical work and then thinking about what you're doing as well. So we forget how we kind of pile one thing on top of another on the body and expect it to just trudge on.
Right. I think, you know, we're always looking for the causal reasons why we get sick. And I think for the most part, the cause of everything is stress and pressure in our lives and in our bodies. If you think about stress as being a pressure or a tension, you think just physically what it does to your body is it impinges your blood flow. It impinges on your digestive system, your elimination, and all these things over time. Your body needs to have those things working. And without releasing that stress out of your body, it will just begin to more and more deteriorate your health. And I think that when you talk about pain, I think when we have pain, I call pain, you know, the most revered teacher, because pain is something, if it gets loud enough, we listen to it.
Yeah,
you know, we can't let it go anymore.
It is a gift because it's telling our body in no uncertain terms that something is wrong.
Right, right. But the thing about what I do that I really like the Shiatsu is that for most people, like you were saying before, you know, when a person comes into my office, I can see in their posture, in their bodies, the stress that they're carrying. But very often, if you ask a person if they feel stressed, they don't. They don't recognize that they feel stressed. I can see it, but they don't recognize it. And the reason why they don't recognize it is because our perception is based in a duality. So we only know one thing because the opposite exists. In other words, we only know that there's hot because we know that there's cold. If there wasn't cold, what would hot be? It would just be what is. So as we experience our lives in a certain way, in a way we perceive it, and we carry the stress of those perceptions, that just becomes normal for us. We don't really feel that as stress anymore. Sometimes we might feel a little better than others, but we don't recognize it. So one of the first things that I enjoy seeing when I work on someone, because I know when I move the energy in the body and get that rebalanced, that they're going to have a feeling of what it really feels like to be balanced and stress-free in their bodies. And that experience provides them that opposite perception to where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, often when you ask people how they're feeling in terms of, for me, I want to know how people are feeling in their bodies, but a lot of it has to do with what's going on in their lives. So people will tell me, well, you know, I lost my job, or I had a fight with my son, or whatever's going on that's creating these stresses, because that's how we kind of think about it,
right,
in our minds.
Right. They tell you what they think, not what they feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the mind does create feelings around what it's doing, but the mind itself doesn't really have any feeling. It's the body that's feeling everything. So the beauty of what I do and what I really enjoy seeing is I move right into the body, right into the energy field, and make these corrections with the techniques that I've learned to get the body in balance and feeling good again. And I like to kind of half jokingly ask a client after a session, well, how do you feel? I feel fantastic. I feel great. 95% of the time. Very rarely someone doesn't like what I do. But then I'll ask them a question, really, to have them sort of make that connection. Has anything changed out there? Has anything changed in your life? Well, really, nothing has really changed in their life, but they can still feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So to come to understand that we can go through our lives, we can deal with the things we need to deal with, we can have the experiences that we have, but we don't necessarily have to give away our connection to the life force in our bodies, the feeling of what it's like to be embodied chi, and it actually is very pleasurable and it feels good. So that experience can provide someone the impetus to maybe look at the things in their lives that aren't in alignment with this feeling.
Yes.
And possibly make changes. And I think that that's where the real healing comes from.
And again, my guest is Craig Perrin, and he works in the Ann Arbor area in Michigan. And his website is Evolving Shiatsu, which is evolvingshiatsu.com. And personally, having experienced Evolving Shiatsu with Craig, I can attest to the fact that indeed it does make a difference. And one of the things that I find so interesting in my line of work, as you know, as an energy healer, I'm sure you do as well, is that people have a deep perception about themselves that they should be able to handle everything, that everything should appear to be fine, even though it isn't. And I think that what's so beautiful about the work that you do, that I can again only speak from my personal experience, is it helps you to recognize that you're perfect in your imperfection. You
yes,
know
yeah.
That you can say, oh, that's just a thing that happened. It's not me. It is so that when you begin to see these things that are kind of like social mores or religious mores or whatever that we have been taught to believe, then we can let that go. It's like your perception literally expands.
Yes.
Or softens, maybe,
yes,
is a better way to say,
yeah,
it. Your perception softens and you're kinder to yourself.
Yes. Yeah. You come into the present moment. Basically, that's what it is. We spend,
yeah,
a lot of our time trying to be, as you say, something that we've been taught, you know, our social upbringing, the way we've been programmed to think and be in life, what it is, how we're supposed to make other people feel. You know, we put a lot of stress on ourselves doing,
yes,
that.
Do.
I watch people now in social interactions, and, you know, Chinese medicine is really ingenious, because they not only look at the body and look at the physical and the medical aspects of what's happening with the body, but they really look at it holistically. You know, it's all about the body, mind, and spirit, which is actually more like Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, looked at medicine when he started. He said, health is the byproduct of living in balance with nature. And he used always techniques first that had to do with a person's lifestyle and diet before he would get into any heavy medical intervention. We've kind of shifted that around today. So,
well, you know, and what's really interesting also is because as you're talking about Hippocrates, is one of the first things that he said was let food be your medicine and medicine be your food.
Right.
So again, it's going back into the most natural things that are plentiful for us.
Right.
And time is a gift that we have. Perception is a gift that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, awareness is a gift that we have. The resources that we have to sustain and maintain and regain our lives are available to us if we just pay attention to that.
Yes.
One of the things that I want to ask you, Craig, and again, my guest is Craig Perrin, who is a shiatsu practitioner, a very gifted shiatsu practitioner, I would say, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And he can be reached at area code 734-272-5020. And Craig, you talk about this beautiful statement that you have in some of the texts that you had sent me. Out of the oneness, we exist within the oneness.
Yes.
We are the oneness within the oneness. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's such a beautiful, an important concept that we have to begin to understand.
Yes. In Chinese philosophy, or I think it's Taoist philosophy, there was something, they go beyond what we as medical, or I'm sorry, as Western thinkers call the Big Bang. We call the Big Bang the beginning of the universe. Well, before the Big Bang, according to the Taoist philosophy, there was something called the Wu Qi, or it was referred to as the Sea of Qi. And this was undifferentiated oneness. It was just qi. So there was no me and you. There was just all this sea of qi. And they said out of that sea of qi, and this could be interpreted as the Big Bang, came yin and yang, which were the opposites, the creation of the duality, to allow for the experience of being other and experiencing really ourselves again. But what we forget is that oneness, that sea of chi, is still here. We are existing within that. That has never changed.
Right.
It's just having these transformations. And what's interesting how we look at health with chi and health is that the body exists through the transformation all the time of chi. And you can see that in the transformation of the food we eat, in the transformation of what we breathe. The process of transforming and changing is constant, and it's absolutely necessary for life. And once that stops, then we go back to the oneness.
Right.
We stop being differentiated.
You know, I think sometimes what I like to try to do with people that when I work with people in medicine, because I work with two medical schools in Michigan, is to help people have the conception of qi as like what they might think of in the body as a stem cell. A stem cell has the potential of being anything
right.
within the body.
Yes,
but it is
exactly.
It is that oneness, it is that individuation that has the potential of coming any part of the whole.
Right, yes.
You know,
that's
so
a good, that's
it's
a good
kind
analogy.
Of an analogy
yeah.
that I
yeah.
help them to see. This is just yeah. another name for the same thing.
Yes,
but they
yeah.
know how to identify a stem mm-hmm. cell. It's hard to identify qi, although we see mm-hmm. the actions of qi.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
see it in a neurological impulse. We see it in that beat of a heart. We see it in the blink of an eye. We see it in the cognition of someone's, you know, imagination. You know, it's all a part of that. So that's so wonderful. And you talk about how qi has consciousness, which is, I think, is a really
yes.
important thing for people to understand.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Well, there's, you know, we know that we have all these processes in our body that work that we have no conscious control over. We can only interfere with them really through stress, because then the energy moves into the, what the Chinese say is that the qi moves to the exterior when we're stressed, because there's something out there that we have to deal with. So the qi moves into the body and continually recreates the body. I'm sorry, what was your question again? I know I got
talking about the consciousness of qi.
Okay, so the qi already has a program. It knows what to do. And that program is what it will do, which is to maintain the body in a perfect way, in a perfect vital way. You know, I remember in the books, Conversations with God, he asked God, forgot his name, what was his name?
Neil Donald Walsh.
Neil Donald Walsh asked God, you know, how long the body was supposed to last. And God told him that the body was made to last forever. And that's kind of a strange concept. You know we all die. But I sort of understand that in a way, because this qi, it has the program to continually maintain life in a perfect way. And we interfere with that unconsciously, not on purpose, through, you know, when we have stress and we're calling that qi all the time to the outside to deal with something in our lives. Originally, there are two primal channels of qi in the body. One is the what we call the governor vessel, or the yang, which is related to the male side. And then we have what we call the conception vessel. These two channels run on the front and back of the body in the center. The governor vessel is the brain and the spinal cord. That comes from the male. And if you look at a sperm, what's really interesting, you look at a sperm and what you see is this little head and a tail that kind of looks like a wavy spine. And if you look at the conception vessel or the egg given by the woman is a circle. And that represents, the conception vessel is the organs of the body. It runs down the front of the body. It has to do with creating life. So you have this perfect union of one consciousness, one program through the brain and the spinal cord given by the yang that has the program and sends the impulses. And then you have the yin, the feminine, which brings that into physical reality. It births things,
Yes. Which
is just the way we are.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the analogy again. I always try to use analogies to help people that are not accustomed to thinking the way we do, to bring it into to their world, whatever that world happens to be. So today we were having, my producer Nate was having a little bit of technical difficulty. So we have, you know, we have the program, which is the information, but then you also need the instruments to let that program run through.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just thought out in the air, or a machine that's not doing anything other than collecting dust.
Right.
So it's kind of the same kind of concept, you know, bringing that idea, the intellect, it's interesting. I hadn't really thought about the sperm literally looking like a brain and a spinal cord. And that is so true. And when we bring those parts together, then we have an understanding. And I think that's really important that we have an understanding that it should never be male against female.
Right.
You know, and so many people, we've been taught one part to be an intellectual or to be a creative individual is a fight, and it is never a fight. It shouldn't be a fight.
No.
And that's what I think that what shiatsu does, when you let the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system work together, it's a flow, not a fight.
Right. That's the idea. I mean, that's what creation is, and bringing it into physical reality is why we're here.
Yeah.
We want things to be in physical reality. Now, I think we have, for many thousands of years now, really explored the brain. You know, the brain is the big thing. You know, I think, therefore I am, which now we're rethinking that thought, because we're so much in our brains now, and you can see it in the technology, you know, virtual realities. And that, I think, you know, it's also reflected in the domination of the masculine that we've experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, we write, which is right brain, which is the
imagination, the cognitive, you know, the creative force.
Right. I'm sorry. So but it's the right side of the body.
Okay.
Okay. So just to be clear, to be right is to be correct. Okay?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And we've had this this male domination, the reverence, in a sense, of the mind. And I think it's been a good thing. It's something I think as a culture, as a world, as a population, as people, we've explored, and we really are exploring this to the nth degree. But there's a piece of us in the sickness we're feeling, our bodies are lacking, and the difficulty we have in accessing our feelings and our bodies, and that, like you were saying before, you know, birthing and being and living in the present moment. The body is always in the present moment. Yes. And the disconnection has created, I believe, a lot of the health issues we're
experiencing. Well, you know, in the second half hour, we're going to talk more about this, you know, how our body reacts to our emotions and then carries on a response to that. And we're going to get into the concept of Dr. Bruce Lipton and what he knows as an epidemiologist, which is so important because our epigenetics, excuse me. And so, again, my guest is Craig Perrin. He is a shiatsu massage therapist in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we will continue our discussion about shiatsu massage and its importance to our health in just a moment. Stay with us.
Kids have the craziest ideas about food. Where do they get this stuff? Like eating Brussels sprouts helps you hit home runs. And eating carrots gives you X-ray vision. It's nuts, and I honestly have no idea where my daughter got this notion that broccoli is the official food of professional ballerinas. Kids, the only reason my 4-year-old loves cantaloupe is because he's convinced it comes from the moon.
One small step for man, lots of potassium for mankind.
And the other day when my oldest came up to me and said, "Mom, will eating peas and carrots really help me pull off a fakie frontside ollie with a twist?" I look him in the eye and say, "It can't hurt, honey. It can't hurt."
Moms everywhere are finding creative ways to help their kids eat 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Wildfires burn millions of acres across the country each year. And each year, wildland firefighters battle to contain them, but they can't do it alone. For some communities, it's not a question of if wildfires strike, but when. And a single ember can travel more than 1 mile. As it twists and turns and floats through the air, that single ember can find its way to where you live and can ignite and destroy your home or your community. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. You can't control where the ember will land, but you can control what happens when it does. You can take action now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. Prepare, protect, prevail. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Now back to Elaine Groman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Elaine Groman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And again, my guest today is Craig Perrin, who is the practitioner and owner of Evolving Shiatsu in Ann Arbor, Michigan. A very gifted shiatsu practitioner who I personally have been to, and I would highly recommend him, although I don't want too many people rushing to the door so that people can get in still to see you selfishly.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to take a look at his website, it's www.evolvingshiatsu, which is shiatsu.com. And his contact phone number is 734-272-5020. So, Craig, before the break, we were talking about, you know, this consciousness that our body has and how it relates. And I'd like to talk to you about Dr. Bruce Lipton, who has coined the term epigenetics. Can you explain what you know about that as a shiatsu practitioner?
Right. That what his claim, in a sense, or his ideas are, which at first were not received very well by the medical community, was that genes, in a sense, are not the be-all and end-all. That there is something called epigenetic control, which is that which influences the genes. The genes, the DNA, are really just a blueprint for making proteins. So how does that, you know, translate into how we adapt and change in life? We can see, I mean, we have changed tremendously over the thousands of years that we've been here. Species change, everything changes. So what is it that creates that change? And what he was finding is that, this ties into what I do, is that the body is constantly recreating itself according to the demands put on it. So in other words, stress in a way is really not a bad thing. I mean, we experience stress all the time. Stress is like a force that makes us change or adapt to something that's happening in our environment. And that's a good thing, because we are here to adapt and change, to create something newer and better and greater, a greater experience of what and who we are, what and who we can be in our lives and in the lives of everyone here. So what happens, though, is those stresses sometimes we can't let go of them based in our history, like traumas in the past, psychological traumas, emotional traumas, and memories in times of our past when we've made decisions, and those become stress patterns. And those patterns are what we feel in our bodies, as well as other patterns. And those patterns create a harmonic, a vibration, and vibrations have patterns. And those vibrations, I believe, and Greg Braden talked about this as well, as walking between the worlds.
Yes, yeah.
He said that what changes things is that our vibration changes, and then the cells or the atoms or whatever it is that create us form themselves according to those vibrations, you know, that the vibrations change us. So in other words, if we have a need to, this was one of the examples that Bruce Lipton gave, that actually people that are going to be born in places where there's a lot of violence, physical violence, and they need to be stronger, they will actually come out of the womb more muscular than will, let's say, a baby that's born to parents who are intellectuals or they're teachers, you know. Mm-hmm. They'll be born more with more energy has been moved into their brains.
Well, and of course, so, the environment in which the mother's body is responding, that whole chemical soup is being flooded into the body
right.
of the baby or babies,
right.
you know, whatever it happens to be. But you're right. His book, Biology of Belief,
right.
is so important, because what we believe becomes our biology.
Exactly.
And that's what you're helping people to understand in this. I love the analogy that you have of the David and Goliath kind of concept.
Well, that ties into the belief, because what I find a lot of times, and what creates, and it's interesting because it creates stress, because we try to believe something with our conscious mind, and it's a good thing. There's a lot of self-help books that are written about, you know, change your thoughts, change your life, and I believe that that's true in a sense, but I just believe it's very, very difficult to do it that way. And Bruce Lipton talks about,
because it's an intellectual process then.
Right.
This is what you're doing, is a physical process.
Right, right. And that our beliefs, our true beliefs, are much, much deeper than that in our bodies and
yes.
our systems. And they're usually given to us when we're very, very young. And this is how I think sort of the traditions and the tendencies about how to live in the world, we become socialized, are imprinted on us. And we understand them at a very deep level. And our beliefs are really, in order to understand our beliefs and how our beliefs are creating our realities and creating our bodies. Our bodies are recreating themselves, posturing themselves around our beliefs. That is they're all mostly driven by subconscious and unconscious beliefs, which, according to Bruce Lipton, was the subconscious and the unconscious are like a million times more powerful than the conscious. So my analogy was, I picture like this story of David and Goliath, and David's, he slays Goliath, but the odds of him slaying Goliath are very slim going in, and mostly because, and that tells you that, you know, what you think and believe in your conscious mind can have an effect, and it does have an effect. But the real power that's going on here is in the subconscious and unconscious, represented by Goliath, but because before he met David, he must have slain hundreds of enemies to become so powerful and so famous. So what I've, how I've tried to help people and how I work in my own life is to use this concept of bypassing the mental process and go directly to the body. So if I'm having a difficulty with a situation, and that's based in my own perception of it, or anybody is, I can feel this sense of anxiety or this sense of worry or this sense of fear in my body. I'm learning how to go directly to that feeling and just let that go. Let the feeling go. It doesn't deny what's happening.
And how do you do that? How do you do that so that people can understand that this is okay. This is possible for them?
Right. Through not only spiritual practices like meditation and yoga, but what I do, the shiatsu itself, and I've gotten a lot of shiatsu and a lot of body work. I love the Eastern style of body work. I also do Thai massage, and I've brought in other forms, but mostly Eastern styles. Is that because it balances the energy in the body and you can viscerally feel that as a feeling in your body, you begin to be able to connect to that. It's always there. We get caught up in something that's going on in our head and it triggers a past pattern from our lives and again, in our perceptions, because you can have two people experiencing the same event. They'll experience different things very often because it's because it depends on what happened to them prior to that event. But anyone can go directly by saying, okay, I'm feeling anxiety. I'm going to let that go. I'm just going to let the anxiety go. I'm not going to let go what's happening. It doesn't really matter because I don't have to be a slave, in a sense, to what's happening in my perception. My body is free always. Yeah. And then I can look at, from a much better place, what's going on. Why am I having these feelings? Why am I having these thoughts? Why do I think this is happening? And how should I respond to this? Mm-hmm. And you'll respond from a better place. You're responding instead of reacting.
Right. You know? I like to remind myself and the people that I work with that your matter matters. So this physical body matters. This
yes.
is the matter that of which your spirit is residing.
Right.
And without this vehicle, there is no experience with
right.
with the world, with one another, with yourself. You know, so your matter matters. More than the infomercial at the moment.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
doesn't matter as much.
Right.
So that's really important. That
and
we
it's interesting
when
the wording matters. You know, you're not bringing it into form. I don't have to bring that into form in my body because if you continually live in a state of fear or anxiety, your body becomes affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things I was saying before. I can see where in the meridian structure, each of the meridians, many of them, almost all of them, are connected to a physical organ. But it's not just the organ, it's a whole system of processes and feelings, the whole system of running things in the body. For instance, the heart is related to blood circulation and a sense of who I am. Your heart is your center. And anxiety is the negative emotion of the heart meridian, this system of energy that rules different aspects of our life. It rules our sleep. The heart rules our sleep. It rules mostly what I said, a sense of who we are, and of course, blood circulation, blood flow. But so if we have a lot of anxiety and we get anxious about things, that affects that particular energy system, and it will eventually affect the heart. And I can see it in people's faces, and I can see it, you know, when they come in often. One of the things I notice socially is people that, an example of a heart imbalance is people that need to have everybody feel good all the time. It's really important for them to make everybody feel okay at the expense of themselves. And you can see the stress that causes.
Mm-hmm. Because it's an impossibility, number one.
Right, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thinking, in other words, they have learned, and we learn different things growing up, and that's a subconscious drive. It's very hard for them to stop that process. Especially if it's not in their awareness. But even when it comes into their awareness, there's still a lot of work to do because then they have to make it matter. They have to embody that awareness, that knowing in the mind. But over time, that imbalance will show up as some kind of dysfunction with the heart or the vascular system. And often when I see that in a client, I'll ask them about their history. And this helps me to sort of zone in on where the imbalances are that I can help them with, you know, by the work that I do. And I'll find most of the time there's imbalance, you know, there's a family history of heart issues.
Right. Well, again, my guest is Craig Parian, and he is the proprietor and the practitioner at Evolving Shiatsu in Ann Arbor. And as you're talking, Craig, it just gives me an idea. Wouldn't it be interesting? This is a brilliant idea. You know, if a cardiologist recognized it, that the physical heart is the very least of what they're working with. Yeah. If they instead say, you know, cardiologist, one who works with the heart, or a neurologist says, I'm the guy who helps people deal with what gets on their last nerve, or somebody that works in pulmonology, you know, the respiratory system, what takes your breath away or what makes you hold your breath.
Right.
You know, it's because all of these things are so connected, and we had in Western medicine have gotten so enamored with the physical organ.
Right.
And we have forgotten that the physical organ is the manifestation of the chi.
Right.
And that there's many, many, many components that either help that organ function or cause dysfunction.
Right, right. We're putting pressure on it. I believe, you know, I like to think of, even though, you know, in Western medicine, they call what I do complementary medicine, or all the alternative medicines complementary medicine to medicine. I really think it should be the other way around. That this kind of work, you know, regular body work, yoga, meditation, things that we do, healthy eating, all the things that we do, the supplements that we need, should be an ongoing thing in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, breathing exercise, learning how to breathe properly, that's a major, you know, a lot of us don't know how to breathe properly.
That's so true.
And that medicine, you know, the more interventionary medicine, you know, when they need to put chemicals in your body to make changes because your life is, you know, becoming in danger, you're being threatened, that should complement what we do all the time to keep ourselves healthy.
Right.
You know, working out, getting enough exercise, getting enough rest, having enough social time that's not stressful, that's not work.
Yeah. The linguistics of things are so important. Just what we say to ourselves, the meaning of what we say. And I remind people all the time that the word medicine is not even a Western word. It's a Native American word. And it does not mean pharmaceutical. Mm-hmm. It does not mean pharmacological agent or intervention. It means kind of like what we're already talking about, is anything good or anything bad.
Yes.
So you might hear a person who is a medicine person, a genuine medicine person, say this is good medicine or this is bad medicine, mm-hmm. indicating that is this helping? Is this harming?
Right.
And always what people need to remember is the very first one who has a reaction to anything is the self.
Mm-hmm.
We respond initially in a million ways, chemically, autonomically, you know, consciously, unconsciously, to whatever is in our perception,
right.
and how we perceive it.
Right.
So again, my guest is Craig Parian, and you know, this is such a deep and important subject, because I think that what everyone needs to do, and I'm sure that you're seeing that people, when they release the tension that they don't even realize they have, first of all, when they acknowledge they have stress.
Yes.
And usually it's when the body is in such distress that they have to go to somebody. It's like, please help me because I can't do this alone.
Right.
And what we need to remember at the outset of life is we can never do anything alone. We have been taught to be autonomous to our detriment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, that's, you know, the point of this show is how do we go beyond what we think of as Western medicine, really get to what medicine really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's health. It's mm-hmm. kindness, it's joy, it's laughter, it's love, it's contemplation, it's creativity, it's mm-hmm. all of these beautiful things.
And I think what we were talking about a little bit before, when we talked about pain as like the radar for, you know, which way should we move in life? You know, what's happening? How are we experiencing this event? That pain is a teacher, and that as we go in more into these modalities that awaken us to what it is to be embodied and the beauty of what it is to be embodied and how we feel and to be in touch with how we're feeling in response to situations in our lives, the sooner we can start to make corrections. In other words, we don't have to, as we get more sensitive, we don't have to wait until we're in dire pain or in ill health to make corrections. One of the things I do with people that, like I was giving the example before about the heart imbalances, you know, sometimes people get, I have to be careful the way I speak with people, because if I say, you know, there's an imbalance in your heart meridian, it's like, oh my God, something wrong with my heart. No, there's nothing wrong with your heart right now. Because if you went to the doctor, and they have probably had been, their heart is fine. I said, you have a family history of that, and the energy in your body in that meridian is imbalanced. So I can actually work with that now to create balance in that, that will help you make the corrections now, so that given, you know, the pattern that your family has of living that includes heart conditions, we can work with now before it becomes a physical reality.
Right. And what you're saying is so important right now, because people have almost an ominous thought that this is a pre-existing condition or this is a hereditary factor. But as you're saying, it's bringing to mind that, you know, it's really more patterns of being. We follow that which we see. So to have a predisposition, let's say, for cardiac problems means how well does your family in general deal with stress?
Exactly.
And do they push it away? So this is a trained notion. And
right.
If it were, in fact, a hereditary factor in true genetics, then every person in the family would have the same problem, because
right.
they're from the same gene pool, presumably.
Right. Again,
you know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's so much more that we need to look at in depth. And I think that, you know, these ancient philosophies, and I know certainly acupuncture is minimally 5,000 years old, probably much longer than that.
Yeah.
The medicine wheels that I talk about, they're minimally 10,000 years old, you know. So in the last 2,000 years, when religion became so dominant, then, you know, this whole huge pattern of chronic illness, chronic grief, chronic condemnation, chronic everything.
Yes.
The belief is that we're right or wrong, and there's no middle ground. There's no
yeah.
happy medium. And
yeah.
I think that that's what we get to see. You know, I certainly can speak for myself that I feel so grateful to help somebody understand how extraordinary they are.
Mm.
How
yeah.
extraordinary they yeah, are, because yeah. they're the only them that has ever been.
Yes.
But they're one part of the whole.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah.
So again, please take a moment and take a look at Craig's website, which is www.evolvingshiatsu.com. And again, I want to ask you, why did you call it Evolving Shiatsu? Because I think that's a beautiful reason why you've named it that.
Shiatsu is it's an evolving form. Again, it's based in Chinese medicine, which is very old, yet it's relatively recent in modern history in Japan. And it also has offshoots and changes. There are so many people that have come along, masters that have added to the lore of what Shiatsu is. And also people that do Shiatsu, if you know anybody or meet them, we're very exploratory. You can go to five or six different people that do Shiatsu and you'll get different kinds of treatments. There is a similarity in what happens to you in all of them, but they all work very differently. So it's a very open, changing field and incorporating.
Well, isn't it in response to that person? It's in response to the client. That's why it must be different, right?
Well, that too. Yes, I don't always do the same thing, but I do have certain ways that I work, you know, mm-hmm. in my nature, in who I am as a person.
Right.
But Shiatsu it allows for a lot of personal creativity in the way you work. So we all kind of follow our own learning and our own knowledge to create the best environment for healing that we can and utilize the best techniques. I do things in my work. I use harmonic bowls sometimes, powerful.
What does that do, Craig?
Well, the idea behind the harmonic bowls is that when you play these Tibetan bowls, they create harmonics
so literally
above and beyond what
vibration.
You can hear. It's sound vibration, mm-hmm. and within those, everything has a vibration. So the basic concept is that, you know, if there's an organ that's not working properly or something in your body that's not working properly, it's out of tune. It doesn't have the right harmonic, that it can actually, there's a word for that, but I can't think of it right now. It can actually attach itself to the sound that it needs.
So it kind of entrains itself to
entrains,
the sound.
Entrains, that was the word I was mm-hmm. looking for. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Well, it kind of goes into what you just shared with, they are finding that different babies in different parts of the world with different, you know, family histories, parents, and the stability or the, you know, instability that the family is born into or in, that right. the child is going to be born into, that harmonics from the exterior
exactly.
or a lack of harmonics
right.
is affecting that fetus.
Right, right.
So it yeah. makes sense, you know, yeah. that what we're doing mm-hmm. is literally affecting our physiology, but it's also affecting our minerals, you know, everything, iron.
We are minerals.
We are minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when I talk to people about the importance of being grounded all the time, it's not just something you do in the morning when you get up and when you go to bed. It's something all the time mm-hmm. because every structure within our body is in the body of the earth. Mm-hmm. And we're standing on this beautiful being called Mother Earth mm-hmm. that has the ability to entrain mm-hmm. our bodies into finding the right flow. Because Mother Nature always knows the right flow.
Mm. One of the reminds me of a very interesting concept in Chinese medicine is that we have two souls. One soul is the ethereal soul, and that resides in the liver, which is interesting. The liver, you know, the ethereal soul, and that's our life.
Liver.
Right. That's our life
that
plan.
That which lives.
That's what we bring in. And our other soul is it resides in the lungs, which rules minerals. Mm-hmm. Which is a borrowed soul that we borrow from the earth.
Oh, I love that concept.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then we let that that go. You know, when we leave the body, it goes back to the earth, but that's borrowed.
You know, it's interesting because I have worked many times with a wonderful Chinese physician in Ann Arbor, Dr. Yun Liu. I don't know if you know him.
I've heard of him. Yes,
he's fabulous, and he was sharing with me, you know, how there are so many correlations in. Different, for instance, in cancer, which so many people unfortunately get because they don't know that they don't have to. Mm-hmm. And certainly there's many exterior things that contaminants and whatnot that the body may then react and create a cancer. But he was speaking about the lungs, as you're talking about, and the colon, that if you have colon cancer, you're more likely to get lung cancer and vice versa. Because, and as you're speaking, triggering a lot of insights for me is that, you know, literally crap, you know, that's in the colon that we refuse to release is going to then be harbored in the lungs. It's we need to eliminate it. We need to eliminate
mm-hmm.
and we need to exhale in another form of elimination.
Right. The lungs and large intestine are one set of meridians. The lungs are the yin and the large intestine is the yang. And in Masanaga, who was in the 1950s, he actually came here. In his theory of the evolution of life itself, is that the lungs was the first movement of the differentiation. In other words, we have this this continuing idea of the Wu Qi, which we talked about before, which is the oneness, and out of that comes something. It's like the big nothing, and out of that comes something. Well, he said, we had the ocean, the sea. And the first thing that happened was of all the materials in the sea, the only thing that made an organism different from those materials, because the organism was the same, was the boundary around it. And he said that the lungs were the first meridian because the lungs created a boundary. And by the way, the lungs rule the skin. And they chose what came into the body. And the large intestine, which is the partner to the lungs, is the process of letting things go. The large intestine not only rules elimination in the colon, but it also all eliminations like mucus. It's a mucus. It's the process, the way the body moves the toxins out of the body in all different ways.
Well, you know, again, there are so many correlations of what we're talking about. In Native American culture, they speak about every human begins life in what is called the first ocean. And that first ocean is the amniotic fluid of which our life begins in this microscopic.
It's like an ocean.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is exactly the same in terms of salt content. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how you're talking about, you know, how things change in the ocean based upon what is it surrounding it, you know, in terms of landmass. And what is the landmass that's carrying this life? You know, bringing in this life force. So it's been such an absolute pleasure talking to you, Craig. And you're just, you know, I have had the pleasure of having shiatsu. And I have to admit, I went to Craig because I was physically in distress. And it's like, holy God, please help me. He was like a God to me. No, teasing. But, you know,
I appreciate it. I really think everybody should have regular body work. It should be part of the medical insurance system, but it's, you know, it's not, and it's a shame. Because
well, I think a lot it of should be, would be helped. Health insurance on our own part. We are the first ones who have to insure our own health.
I agree.
Not looking to a third party to do it. Yeah. We need to ensure this life is healthy and as beautiful and as emotive as possible. And so we're going to be winding up the show. My guest today has been Craig Perrin. His website is Evolving Shiatsu, which is shiatsu.com. He's located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. His telephone number is 734-272-5020. Thank you so much for being on the show, Craig.
You're welcome.
Is there any last thing you'd like to share?
No, thank you. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here.
Well, please know, people, that you know you can listen to this at any time, and after the show airs, it is podcast, which is the wonderful thing about Empowering Radio. And so, again, my name is Elaine Grohman. This is Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. I thank you very much for your time. Please go out and make this day your best.